Hey everybody, this is Laika with the None of the Above show, a show about everything non-mainstream. Tonight we have a really cool fetish cam performer who does lots of other stuff too, and she is Two Thorned Rose. Hi Rose, how are you doing tonight?
Hello, I'm doing pretty good.
So for those who don't know you already through Twitter, do you want to introduce yourself, say how they can find you, Twitter handle, that kind of stuff?
Mm-hmm. My name is Two Thorned Rose. You can call me Rose, though. I have a personal website, which is twothornedrose.com. I'm most known for being able to deep throat a 40-inch balloon and also a 10-inch sausage. I have had plenty of memes made out of those videos, but that's what I'm most known for. And you can look me up on Twitter at twothornedrose and find all my other links there.
Now, when someone looks up the websites, it's T-W-O, not the number 2, right?
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify that for anyone who was typing as they were listening.
Yeah, T-W-O for all of my sites and stuff.
Cool. So do you like sell a lot of clips and stuff on your sites?
Yeah. Clip sales are over half of my income right now, so
nice.
Lots of them.
How did you get into doing clips?
I got into doing clips. Well, I started camming first, and I saw other girls doing clips and kind of transitioned from camming into doing clips as well.
Yeah, that's kind of the gravitation, yeah. I followed. And it's kind of like when you're sitting in a cam room and it's quiet and you're like, I could be doing something more productive.
Yeah, right, and it's nice to wake up to, like, you know, $50 in sales overnight sometimes, so.
Right, right. It's like the Clips for Sale ad says, make money in your sleep.
Yeah, it's, you know, the best.
If you get sales.
Yeah.
Of course.
True.
So how long have you been camming for?
I've been camming for 3.5, almost 4 years. It'll be 4 years in February.
4 years in February?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Would you say when you first got into camming versus now, is it a very different experience for you in terms of, like, your comfort level with interacting with people and that sort of thing?
It's completely different. I'm a lot more comfortable with interacting with other people, other models and members, and I'm just more comfortable with myself as well. It was a very eye-opening experience whenever I started camming, and I learned a lot about myself.
So why did you start camming? How did you get into that?
Well, I heard about camming from a girl. Now, okay, I'm not saying everyone should base their life decisions based on what a girl drunk off her ass and high on ecstasy sitting on your couch says, but that is exactly what I did, and that's how I learned about camming, and kind of the reason I started camming, because she told me, like, yeah, you can get naked for money, and I'm like, oh, shit. So...
I mean, who would argue with that, right?
Yeah, that was the beginning of it all.
Yeah. I had a kind of similar experience. I actually, I saw an ad on Craigslist, mm-hmm. in the personals, because I was just looking for people who are DTF, and I saw this ad about, like, you know, tease and flirt for money and strip for money online, and I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. So Craigslist personals ad that was actually a promoter for StreamMate, uh-huh. and that's how I found my way there.
That's funny. Whenever I ran a physical studio at my old house, that's one of the ways that we promoted our studio was through Craigslist.
Nice. Good to know.
Yep, we had a physical studio with, like, 4 different rooms, so. But that's in the past now. I'm not doing that anymore.
Do you think for what you were doing then, it helped to have that kind of setup?
I think it helped, like, having the space to have all the different cam rooms and to film in a different, you know, different room anytime that I wanted to definitely helped. But I just feel like it was much more work than it was worth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Like... When I used to live with my my family in Delaware before we all moved, like, I had a room set up in the basement to record music in,
mm-hmm.
full, like, recording setup, and then I had another room that was set up like a computer lab, and I ran servers out of there and stuff, and you know, then I have like other stuff elsewhere in the house, and it was actually kind of a lot to maintain. Yeah. And most of that stuff is, like I said earlier, packed up in a storage unit right now collecting dust, because it's a lot to maintain.
Yeah.
When you're devoting that much space to things.
For sure.
So, like, how would you utilize having four different rooms for camming and clip filming and stuff? How would that work?
I had one room that was set up to my liking, and that was my cam room. And then I had other girls that would come to my house, and they would use the other rooms. There was another room that was set up like a bedroom, and they would cam mostly in there. There was another room that had two couches in it, so it was more like when we did group stuff, you know, you could mm-hmm. have multiple girls sitting on the couches and stuff. So it's just different things to accommodate whatever we were doing at the time.
Makes sense. Yep.
Anything else to say about it right now?
So how do you think downsizing from doing that to like kind of your approach now, how do you think that's working out?
I think it's better for me because I'm able just to focus more on me. It's very difficult working with girls who are just coming into this, and they don't really, it's not that they don't know what they're doing because I'm there to teach them. It's just they don't have the passion or drive for it, you know, like I do. And it's a lot less stressful for me now just focusing on me rather than trying to worry about four or five different other girls at once.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Like I know when I've worked, I had a position working in retail where I was kind of looking at maybe getting promoted to something where I would have done a little bit of managing other people. And it was like, I don't know that they could have reimbursed me enough to actually have to look after other people and be responsible for them. That kind of thing is incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody talks about wanting to manage and stuff and have all this power, and I don't think I would want that.
It's very stressful. Does not
sound fun at all. So what made you move from doing that kind of thing to just focusing on you camming?
I was literally working around the clock, like from the moment I woke up until I just was physically exhausted at night. And I felt like I was getting nothing done. Like, there was no progress with myself, really, I felt like, because I was so spread out. And whenever I had decided to start that, I was also with my ex, who was supposed to help me with it. He was supposed to help manage the girls and, mm-hmm. you know, recruit new girls in and help with, you know, the studio and everything. And he really just didn't do anything. And it was all on me to do. And it just got to be too much. So I decided to quit doing that, and I broke up with him. Downsized to a smaller place, started focusing on myself more, and I've been much happier since then.
That's awesome to hear. I'm really glad, because, like, I mean, something that I don't find that many opportunities to, like, talk about on Twitter, but I've managed to talk about a little bit on the show, is the importance of doing things to take care of oneself. And, right. like, me over the last few years expanding my exploration of pagan spirituality and getting sober in AA and putting work in that program, it's actually been invaluable just in terms of me handling everything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important. And I think a lot of people get wrapped up in things and they forget to pay attention to what they need.
Right.
And what's important to them.
Yeah, I had definitely done that. And I was letting everything else take priority, especially letting my ex take priority. So
right.
It's much better now. I'm a lot happier.
What kind of things are you doing to focus on yourself and your needs now?
I have, my kittens make me happy. I have three kittens. Yeah.
I know. I saw them when I walked in. They're so cute.
Yeah. The littlest one is a monster. But I spend a lot of time playing with them. I spend more time filming my own stuff. And I just, this past October, I did 13 Nights of Horrorween, which I put like between 6 and 10 hours into each video. And I did 13 videos. But it was
Holy
stuff.
Shit.
Yeah, it was so much work. But it was, I was creating things that I actually, like, truly enjoyed. Like, I love being artistic and creating, like, things that are actually nice to look at and watch, not just me sitting in a room masturbating. But there was a lot of hair and makeup and thought put into the setting and everything of it. And doing things like that have really made me happier. And, like, the series did great. I sold so many of each clip, and it just made me really happy. And I've just been doing more things like that.
That's really cool. Yeah, actually, like, putting thought and time into the presentation of something like that.
Yeah.
It can really do a lot for how it comes out. Because, like, sure, there's definitely clips I've done where I spent 20 minutes setting up. I filmed it just in one shot. It came out okay.
Yeah.
You know, and that was that. And then, like, 8 days ago, I filmed 47 minutes footage of Hardcore with Salacious Shanna, who flew in from where she lives to film with me. And we literally spent, like, all day preparing for this.
Right.
And, you know, it took probably close to 2 hours to film 47 minutes of footage.
Yeah.
And then it's been, you know, getting trimmed down from there. Like, she's putting out his content share. So she's putting out a version that she edited down to 40 minutes, and then I'll probably edit the footage down to a similar length.
Right.
And it's like, you look at, like, literally spending an entire day to walk away with 40 minutes of good footage. But that's, you know, it's important. It's more about quality than quantity.
Right.
If you're trying to make something that's actually visually appealing and interesting.
Right. Especially doing different camera angles and stuff, mm-hmm, when you're by yourself. It's just takes so much more time to stop and readjust things and start again whenever you're independent and you're just working with yourself or maybe one other person.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, doing any sort of independent content production, you do a lot of that. It's, even if you're working with good equipment, good software, whatever, it's still very DIY in the sense that you have to put a lot of work into taking care of all the details yourself.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, I guess probably a lot of people who are outside of the industry don't really think about that.
Yeah, I don't think they do at all.
Probably not. Because, like, I've had people approach me, and they're, like, asking about something I recorded, and they're, like, asking about, like, the makeup person or camera person. I'm like, who?
you mean me?
Right. We were lucky enough to get our friend Cammie to help us with setup, and she ran camera, and she did an amazing job of it. But, like, a lot of stuff. Stuff I recorded with Vanya Vixen, mm-hmm, it's been like, okay, let's set up a couple cameras, and then we'll stop at this point in the clip and move them around. And then you're, like, trying to, like, adjust the lighting, get the white balance right again.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it takes a lot longer so than people think.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's, So how does doing something like that, in terms of your passion for it, your emotions involved in it, compare to being in a cam room?
Well, I think, like, making the videos, I put so much more thought into what I was doing. Like, whenever I log on cam, I'm normally just, I pick an outfit and I put it on and I'm just there, like, hey, you know, like, what's up, guys, kind of thing.
Right.
You know, it's just like that. But whenever I made those videos, I spent 2 to 3 hours doing makeup and then set up, and there was just so much thought put into every single little detail, and I was much more focused on just the end product rather than just kind of hanging out and having a good time.
Right.
It was a lot more stressful making the videos, but I enjoyed it, and the end product was great, in my opinion.
Yeah. I can imagine so, because I know you're artistic. I'll have to take a look at some of that. And
yeah, it was nice to finally put my college education to use in some videos, because I went to Tom Savini's Special Effects Makeup School up in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was nice
to actually
put some of my makeup skills to use, and I'm planning for next year probably to sculpt and cast and, like, actually use face prosthetics and stuff and, you know, do it even bigger better.
That would be really amazing.
Yeah, so I'm definitely happy I get to incorporate the two when it comes to making my own videos now. So.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. I didn't know you went to special effects school.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's another reason why I started camming, because I had, like, $20,000 in student loan debt.
Right.
And I was working two jobs at the mall, and I just wasn't cutting it, so...
Yeah.
Camming.
Yeah, no, I started camming when I was working in retail, and it just wasn't cutting it. So yeah. I hear you on that.
I was like, I can sit there and do practically nothing and still make more than being here and stressing over making cookies, because that's what my job was. And yeah, I just decided to quit one day.
And here you are.
Cammed ever since, yep.
So you have observed changes in kind of the market and profitability of camming over the last few years. Do you want to talk a little bit about kind of the shifts you've seen in doing that?
Because I work on streaming mostly with camming.
Right.
I've noticed that, I don't know, like... The things, like, with the Lush toys and stuff like that have become the most popular thing, even on streaming. Even though it's not compatible with streaming, we figure out a way to make it work. So I think that, and, like, I've seen lately, the past couple of months, the traffic has been so iffy everywhere with camming, with MFC and Chatterbait, Streamate. I see girls all over the place. And I feel like it's just... I guess, like, a seasonal slowdown right now.
Yeah.
As it kind of happens. I think I've noticed that in the past. Around this time of year, it kind of slows down a little bit. People are saving up more for holidays. So, yeah.
That's why it's important, if you follow a model and want to support them, this is a good time of year to spoil them a little bit.
Yes.
Hint, hint to everybody listening.
Hint, hint. Can't say that enough.
Right, right. So you said that you cam mostly on Streamate, and one of the things that I found advantageous on Streamate is that the culture there is mostly like people are not expecting too much free, because you can't do that much except behind the paywall. But disadvantage of Streamate is they don't really like you linking to outside stuff clip stores.
You can't link to anything. You can't say anything. You can't do anything. I had my cam stream watermarked with hashtag Thorndogs, because that's my, like, you know, that's what I call my fans, Thorndogs, because I'm two thorned rose. I thought it was a clever little name.
Right.
And so I had the hashtag on the stream with my username, two thorned rose. And I got suspended for having that on there because they said I was sending customers off-site by using that hashtag. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, they could Google any of our names and send them off the site. They're going to have to look up the hashtag, which they could just look up our usernames. Like, you guys are just, you're reaching with that. And
yeah, that's something that I think they probably... maybe losing some models over how strict they are with that sort of thing.
For sure.
Because I've heard other people say similar things, that they don't really like Streamate because, you know, you can't even link to a social media account where you tell people when you're going online.
Yeah.
So, versus a lot of, like, you know, Chatterbait, which has some similar features, but you have to look for them because most Chatterbait shows are tip-based. Has the advantage that you can, like, link to your clip store, link to your social media. But then again, pretty much any show on Chatterbait is going to get put up on a website the next day.
Right.
So that is one thing that can end up driving away traffic from your Chatterbait channel.
Well, that's also something that can bring in more traffic, because...
Which is true.
Long as you watermark your stream, which I'm always sure to do, then having free content out there, I mean, I know it's pirated and that's bad and all that, but it can help you gain new fans, because I've gained new fans from my pirated content. So.
Yeah, that's something I learned very quickly when I started using Chatterbait more than StreamMate, is if I put something with my username in the image, then people will actually sometimes find their way back to me.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's at the same time, like, I know that some of these sites are probably drawing some traffic away.
Yeah.
So.
True.
So let me ask a little bit about, you talked about your Knights of Horrorween.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit more about your motivation for that. I'm curious.
I am a very big fan of Halloween and just scary movies and horror based everything. And I love doing makeup and being creative. And in the past, I had never really gotten to do something where I was really artistic and creative. I never got to like integrate the two, my artistic talents and camming and such. So I just kind of, I came up with Horrorween and decided to do 13 Nights of Horrorween. Like the ABC family, how they do 13 Nights of Halloween. That's mm-hmm. where I got the name from, obviously.
Gotcha.
And I kind of put my own twist on everything. And I just took what I thought was a Halloween theme kind of ideas and made sure to put my own twist on it, like I did a Bride of Frankenstein thing, and just, you know, made everything mine and did the makeup up how I wanted it to and made sure the setting was really nice. So I had a lot of fun making that series.
Setting is a good thing to mention. Because I kind of want to jump back into the camming thing a little bit, because I know there's people who listen to this and are curious about camming and have tweeted things at me or DM'd me and asked about like getting into camming. Setting in camming is also extremely important.
Yes.
And there was at FetishCon, there was a class that Kimber Haven did on doing cam shows, and one of the things that she hammered on was like that initial impression when someone sees just the thumbnail of your cam room.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good thing to that you mentioned. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, for sure. I hate a messy room, and like even if it's just too busy, I don't think like your setting for a video or for camming should be too busy that it distracts from you.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it should be nice and clean, and it should work with what you're doing.
That totally makes sense. So, what kind of settings did you end up using for the 13 Nights of Horrorween? Or is that something that listeners will have to go and look at the content to find out?
Well, they could look at the content. They could look at, I have the teasers up where they can see. I ended up using my bedroom for a lot of them, but I have color-changing LEDs all around my bed frame. So I was able to, I hung sheets up in my bedroom to kind of block off my bed, and I could change the colors on it to give the room a different, you know, different look, a different feel. For the Bride of Frankenstein one, I had the colors set to green.
Mm-hmm.
It was green, and then I had a white sheet on the bed, and I had my makeup all done with, you know, like green tint. And I did a couple of them outside, actually, on my back patio area. There was like a zombie one that I did, and I got dry ice so that it would be all, you know, foggy, but that it wouldn't fog up, you know, too high in front of the camera. That's why I got the dry ice. I used that, and I did, you know, a video outside where I was a zombie, and I have a glow-in-the-dark dildo that I used, and it was pretty cool. A couple of my other ones, I pretty much, you know, I just used sheets, like backdrops,
mm-hmm.
and made it, you know, just changed things so that it went with that video's theme. I did a skullfuck video where I painted my face and neck and chest like a skull, and you know, I had the black to make it look like I was a skeleton.
Right.
I just had black sheets up for backdrops and stuff, and mm-hmm. so whenever we filmed, the black kind of faded out with the black of the background,
Very cool. So it was just like the skeleton.
The skeleton getting skull fucked.
Ethereal skeleton there. Nice. Yeah. That sounds really cool.
Which was a lot of fun to film.
I'm going to have to check out the teaser for that one. I'm gonna be looking for the outlines, you know, of you against the backdrop.
Yeah.
Because that's what I look for. I'm one of those people.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun to film. I have a Safe for Work teaser up on my YouTube that I did to go with the Halloween creepy theme, so.
I didn't know you had a YouTube channel. What kind of stuff do you put up there?
A lot of it is just toy reviews because companies send me so many toys and they just want me to review them, just sit there and talk about the toy, and I get so many of them that I actually started charging for reviews because I just have so many toys now that I just don't even touch half of them. But most of them are toy reviews. I also have a lot of stuff about my weight loss, my surgery. I kind of documented the whole surgery thing whenever I had my corset chunkplasty. I had the, you know, before, whenever I was telling everyone about it, about my weight loss, and I vlogged whenever I went to Pennsylvania to have my surgery and after it and everything in my recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a mix of different things, personal life and health and fitness and toy reviews, pretty much.
So do you want to, I know you actually had that as your pinned tweet for a long time.
Yeah.
Do you want to touch on like the whole weight loss and surgery thing and the scarring mm-hmm. and everything that went with that?
Yeah. I lost over 100 pounds when I was 20. I don't even remember how old I was at this point. It was 4 or 5 years ago. I lost over 100 pounds and I was left with all of the loose skin on my thighs and on my stomach and abdomen. And I had had that for 4 years. The loose skin, it just is not something that goes away. You have to have it surgically removed.
Mm-hmm.
One of my biggest motivators whenever I was camming and working was that I wanted to get the surgery to get it removed.
Mm-hmm.
And this past March, I had finally saved up enough money and had booked my appointment with my surgeon up in Pennsylvania. And I finally got to go do that, and they removed over 7 pounds of skin from my abdomen and from my thighs. And I have scars that make me look like I'm wearing an underbust corset now, which is kind of cool, actually. I kind of like, cool. like my scars, yeah.
I mean, you could, like, tattoo around it and kind of accent those. That's a thought.
I was thinking about getting tattoos. I have to wait, like, I think another 6 months or something.
Right.
But I also have ones on my thighs that go down the inner part of my thighs down to my knees. And I'm kind of just covered in scars now, but I'm a lot happier and all of the skin is gone. And I finally feel like myself, like the person I'm supposed to look like.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I'm much happier now. Actually, like, I really love my body and showing off even more now.
So how do you feel about showing off the scarring?
I don't mind showing off the scarring at all. There were a lot of people whenever I first had my surgery done that were kind of patronizing or condescending. I'm not sure which word to use, but they were like, tell me, oh, don't be ashamed of your scars, you know, like, oh, honey, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, bless your heart. And I'm like, I'm not ashamed of them at all. Like, I paid a lot of money to get these scars. Like,
right.
I'm not ashamed of my scars at all. I don't mind showing them off. I have a lot of scar fetish guys that have found me since this, which I didn't even know was a thing, but of course it's a thing.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a thing, because I used to cut, right? And in college, this person at another dorm was like really hitting on me, and she's like, I think your scars are so sexy. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm actively dealing with depression right now. This is not a conversation I want to have, but continue.
Yeah, so it's just, I found guys that really love my scars. I love my scars. I love how unique they make me. Like, no other girl is gonna have those scars. Like, I don't know a single other person who has had the procedures that I have had, and I like my scars. So.
Yeah, that's really cool. No, I used to be kind of ashamed of my scars until I had some people tell me, like, no, but that tells a story, and like, you don't cut anymore. It's been a long time since you've cut yourself, and that's something to be proud of. And that's something that I've, like, you know, I've reflected a lot on. And then I actually, when I started exploring kind of some heavier BDSM, I did a little bit of cutting and scarification type stuff for artistic, not for, you know, self-harm reasons.
Right.
But, like, I have, you know, the polyamory symbol of the heart, the inverted heart and the infinity on my leg now, which was actually something that I did and went over again earlier this year. And that's one of those things that, like, when people notice it, they're like, oh, wow, that's cutting and scarification. Mm-hmm. You don't see that every day. I'm like, no, you sure don't.
Right.
Not like that, so.
I didn't even notice it until you pointed it out.
Yeah, it's kind of faint because, you know, I've only gone over it twice. So it's like, you don't really necessarily see it. The ones on my back of the triple goddess are a little more noticeable because those were deeper. But someone else did those. They didn't come out completely even, but they still look pretty cool.
That's cool.
So I also want to, like, kind of talk about, you mentioned, you know, that your housing situation changed and everything. And I know you've been pretty open about some of the things around that. And I was curious if you wanted to share any kind of on what you went through, or if maybe not specifically that, kind of some of the issues involved, like comfort with other performers and producers and things like that, as being just a general topic.
Right. Well, my ex, like I mentioned to you earlier, he was kind of part of the industry just because I was.
Right.
He would go to conventions with me. He was in Vegas with me. He was at FetishCon in 2016 with me. You know, other cam girls and models knew him and considered him a friend and such. But he was not really the best person, and he hit a lot, and I didn't really open up and talk to people a lot about it until after bad things had gone down and I had broken up with him. But my ex had, well, he was mentally, like, emotionally abusive towards me throughout our entire relationship. And he also violated consent of another performer. I'm not sure if you saw the tweets on Twitter from Ari.
Yes, I did see that.
Okay, yeah. Ari was staying at my house. She drove down from South Carolina to stay with me for a week, and halfway through the week, he went into the guest bedroom where she was, and he tried to, you know, put his hands on her and kiss her, and he was trying to fuck her, like, while I was in the other room. And that was really, yeah, that was really hurtful for me because my boyfriend just cheated on me.
Right.
He tried to do it with one of my best friends, and he ended up, because of the issue with that, like, me and her stopped being friends for, like, a year, which sucked because she was one of my best friends. And he just, you know, that's so bad. Like, I have another model performer staying at my house, and my boyfriend is going to try and do something like that. Like, it completely violated her consent. She said no. He kept trying. And he could have, like, really messed up my career doing that.
Yeah, and I know some people kind of came at you a little bit and were like, why are you allowing this?
Right.
And stuff, which, yeah, that really sucks. But, like, kind of just my interacting with you and knowing how much you try to see the good in people, that probably actually didn't win you any favors on that one.
Yeah.
Because I think it went on too long.
Yeah, like, there were a few incidents, but people thought that I was just letting it happen when I never let him forget about it in reality. Like, that was always the thing, and in the end, like, I had had enough, and he wasn't a good person. He was definitely not a good person to be in the industry. I felt like he always tried to push boundaries a bit more, and I don't feel like a person like that needs to be in the industry at all, or even around other people at all.
Right. So. Right, because it's one thing to have, like, some boundary issues, and then having someone be like, hey, that's not cool, and you work on it.
Yeah.
Right? And I've been there with a couple things like that, and that's something that you work on, and you get feedback from other people, and communication's really important, and respecting others is really important there.
Right.
And if someone, like, can't seem to establish that, that's a big problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was a repeat thing.
Right.
And that's just not something I want in my life and not something I think should be a part of the industry at all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that especially, I had an interaction with someone the other day, and they were kind of talking about, like, oh, you know, like, Harvey Weinstein and these things in Hollywood going down, like, it really sucks for the people that, you know, were affected by this and how it got covered up. And then, you know, someone else mentioned the topic of Ron Jeremy, and the first person's response was, well, you know, but that industry. And I'm like, yeah. Whoa, wait a second.
Yeah.
In the adult industry, one of the most important things is consent.
Right.
And, like, that's actually kind of a revelation to a lot of people. Like, they just don't seem to understand that we don't all just do whatever and fuck each other 24/7 or something.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
So, yeah, that's...
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about him in that situation. I'm glad he's told me he's not going to be part of the industry, which, good. I've pretty much... blasted him and roasted him as much as I can to let people know that he's not a good person to work with and that you shouldn't really trust him or his word. So
now let's say for people listening, people who are in, you know, let's say in the adult industry, and experiencing like issues with consent violation or their boundaries not being respected, are there good resources you can suggest for them to go to?
One of the most powerful things is just letting everyone know. Like, Everything has been blowing up in pretty much every industry lately with sexual assault and harassment and such. Just let everyone know. If there's screenshots you can take, then take them. Go to your peers, other models and stuff like that. We're always so supportive of that. So I would just say to, look to the industry.
It's also really important if anyone is thinking of using a recording device to catch, you know, some sort of assault or argument, that sometimes in that case, not only will the court find it inadmissible, but you can go to jail for breaking wiretapping laws. So something to keep in mind there. But screenshots are a good idea.
Yeah.
Witnesses are a great idea. Letting other people know. Is really helpful, especially because, you know, there should be, like, there's things like shelters for victims of assault, abuse, and domestic violence, but a lot of times, I don't know if any industry people really seek those things very often or what their experiences are. I would suspect that there would be some bias with the staff that work at those places towards someone who comes in from doing porn and they're saying, like, hey, this is going on.
Yeah.
So
that's why I feel like just really looking towards the industry and other models and such can be more helpful than that because they're more understanding.
Which is why it's really important to have a community.
Right.
You know, no matter where you are, what you do.
Right. And about recording phone calls and such, because I had a problem with my ex where he had a no-contact order and still called me, the sheriff told me just every phone call, record it, and at the beginning, just say that...
Notify them.
This
call is being recorded.
No matter
recorded.
Who it is, if it's an unknown number, just say this call is being recorded, and then continue on with the conversation.
Right. That's true. That is one possibility.
Yeah. Unfortunate that you have to do that, but...
Well, but then on the other hand, I don't know that I would want people recording all my private conversations without letting me know.
Yeah.
Because that would be kind of creepy.
It would be, yeah.
So,
just a little bit.
I don't know. Sometimes the legal compromise on those things is a little weird, yeah. But, you know, it's what it is.
It makes sense sometimes.
It does. And I totally just indulged in an overused and meaningless tautology by saying it is what it is, which states absolutely nothing. But, so I also was kind of curious, like, let's suppose someone is in the opposite situation where they're getting feedback from people that feel that they're not respecting boundaries. Now, what would you say if someone is in that situation, their best course of action to take is?
I think they need to step back and look at what they're doing, whatever boundaries the person is saying they're crossing. They need to really just step back and analyze what they're doing and figure out where it is that the gray area is where they don't think they're crossing a boundary, but the other person says that they are, and that kind of like cross in the middle. They need to figure themselves out to make sure that they don't come anywhere near crossing that, and, you know, apologize and learn from their mistakes and try and just be a better person, you know? Just,
right.
I mean, making a mistake, you know, once or twice is something, as long as you're growing from it and learning from it and improving and not doing that again. But when you make no effort to change or anything,
lack of willingness to improve, that's right. Something that, like, you know, especially being in 12-step programs, which no matter the program, whether it's AA or NA or something else, there's just a lot of focus on how to get along with other humans,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of how to be a better version of yourself and how to establish a relationship with a higher power for all that. But, like, something that does get brought up a lot is boundaries and kind of like people unwilling to take in new information from others about boundaries. And it kind of boils down to frequently an issue of like self-pride. They just don't want to admit that they're wrong or they took the wrong approach to something. So if someone can let go of that, they're going to do a lot better about accepting feedback and becoming more respectful of others' boundaries.
Right. And respecting boundaries in the future is definitely the most important part of that. If there was anything crossed in the past.
So. Yeah. So to get kind of off a serious topic and go into something a little more fun, where are you camming right now? Because I know you're gravitating away from your previous platform.
Yeah, I have been with StreamMate for 3 years now, and it's just not the site that it was. I'm bouncing between my free cams and trying other things. I was on Chatterbait for all of 10 minutes today, and the 10 minutes went really well. So I'm trying out Chatterbait. I like that site just because I can have my boyfriend on with me, whereas on my free cams, I pretty much can't have him anywhere near me whenever I'm logged on there, which kind of sucks. Because it takes me away from him a lot, and he can't even, like, you know, come in the room and say hi. So, thinking more of a token-based site that allows male models on there as well. So,
right.
Chatterbait, I might try out Cam4. But StreamMate's just not what it used to be for the 65% that they take. And the lack of traffic right now is just killing me.
Yeah, so. I've had some fairly good experiences with Chatterbait. I've never made very much from camming.
Mm-hmm.
I've never made all that much in general. Sometimes what I do is more a labor of love because, you know, like I got into it and like I got some feedback from people like, hey, actually watching you do this stuff helps me. And I'm like, really? Because mm-hmm. I feel like I'm only making a little bit here. You know, it'd be great if I was making more, and it's a lot of work, you know? So kind of like, half the time it's a labor of love.
Right.
But I will say that I've had some pretty successful shows on Chatterbait, and some of them haven't even been sexual. Like, I mm-hmm. did this thing, you know, it was probably kind of sexual because I was naked, but I was like playing a bunch of different instruments because I'm also a musician.
Right.
And I just getting tipped for playing music. And I'm like, this is fucking cool. I'm naked playing music and getting tipped.
Yeah. And like, that's kind of another reason why I want to go towards more a site like that, because I can paint and sculpt and everything like that. And I think it'd be cool if I could start a thing where I'm like making art, sculpting or whatever while live streaming on one of the sites.
Right. Almost just like Twitch, but you're naked.
Right. And if I tried that on StreamMate, guys would just be sitting there like, hey, come on, I want you to shove a dildo in you. What are you doing?
If you're naked on StreamMate, it's behind a paywall, so they're going to expect their fantasy fulfilled.
Yeah. So it just doesn't work on StreamMate like that.
Maybe we could do a thing, right, where, like, I can bring a keyboard over, and I can just, like, improv on the keyboard while you paint, and we'll just be naked and do that as a Chatterbait show. That might be fun.
I think that'd actually be a pretty good show.
That would be really entertaining.
I'll paint you while you're playing. I'll paint you.
Ooh, okay. We'll have to chat about that. That sounds fun. I'd be down for that.
It does sound fun, yeah.
Okay, so, like, you have remarked about, like, making some different kinds of content and stuff, and I know we were chatting earlier today that you don't do quite as much fetish stuff anymore.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about that shift in terms of the content you're making.
I used to do a lot more fetish stuff about a year or 2 years ago, but I just noticed that it doesn't really sell that well for me. I have one video. It was like a mouth tour with another model, and that is my only fetish clip that's actually ever done well and sold enough times to, like, actually make it worth filming.
Right.
But I've noticed that my solo or my boy-girl content does so much better than anything else. Like, even whenever I film with other girls, that content doesn't even do great for me. But
interesting.
It really is, but if I do a solo video that takes me, like, 10 minutes to film and there's no editing, you know, it's just something stupid and quick, that will get more sales than, you know, a four-girl orgy, because I do have, like, a four-girl orgy video that's sold, like, twice, and stupid videos of me just deep-throating a dildo for 10 minutes is, like, hotcakes.
Maybe you're not believable as a lesbian.
I don't know why.
Your hair's too long. Let's play into the stereotypes a little bit.
Okay.
Have to do less makeup and less shorter hair.
Okay.
And then you can be a stereotypical lesbian and maybe it'll sell better.
Good idea. I need to get a wig, like a short wig.
And yeah, put my hair back. Go.
Okay. All right.
That's a plan.
Good plan. Thanks.
Sure. Always glad to lend my feedback that totally plays into stereotypes.
Yes.
Because that's what the world needs more of, is stereotypes.
Oh, of course.
No, actually, one of the big things that, like, as I mentioned, like, a lot of times, you know, with what I put out in terms of time, gas, whatever, equipment, etc., like, I really end up just kind of breaking even. I'll get some sales on stuff, or I'll get some money from a show or whatever, and then it's like, and that's basically what I spent already. But, like, the feedback I get from people, there seem to be a lot of people who are trans who are really into the idea that, like, I don't look like a lot of other trans models. I'm kind of androgynous, but they think I'm cute, and so I'm like, well, hey, you know, if they're liking the fact that there's an androgynous trans model doing this stuff, even though I'm probably never going to be a big seller of anything, like, that actually gives me incentive to do things. And I got this feedback from someone today that, like, I was an inspiration for them.
Aww.
They were getting into camming, and that, like, made my day. I was like, I was looking for a happy tears emoji, and I don't think there is one.
No.
Yeah, I was really disappointed. There's no happy tears emoji.
Yeah, I normally just put the one that's like the tears pouring down and then a bunch of hearts, because there's no happy tears one.
I just put in parentheses looking for a happy tears emoji. She understood.
Good.
But that's really cool, and it's important, I think, if you actually want to stick around and make something that lasts, or make a persona or image that lasts, is having something memorable in terms of being different with who you are or what you bring to the table or what you're producing. Because there's going to be, I don't know how many thousands of blowjob videos uploaded to the internet this year, then next year, then the year after that, and it's only going to increase, versus 13 themed videos with special effects. How often is that going to happen?
Right.
So that's actually, like, a really interesting contribution to make. And I am a big fan of the idea of making, like, art porn. Like, yeah. It's not just there to titillate the audience. It actually has, you know, redeeming artistic value in multiple facets. And right. Doing stuff like that, I think, is incredibly cool. And I'm trying to find, like, more ways that I can do things like that. But, I don't know, props on that. Because that's just really awesome.
Well, doing stuff like that, like, turns me on more than, you know, just a plain fucking video or something like that. Something that has a twist to it, some more artistic view on it, turns me on more. So I think I enjoyed myself more when I was making those videos because of that. And I think that definitely shows in the videos.
Yeah.
So it just all went together really well.
Yeah, people can always tell when they see something, like, how much passion you had going into it.
Yeah.
So anything that, like, you're excited about doing, that shows, and people appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's why I was, like, trying to kind of match up the clip sales that I have got with, like, the kind of things that I would be really, really fascinated with doing. And most of the overlap seems to be, like, I kind of want to make comedy fetish porn. So that's kind of, like, my ideas for some of the next things to film, is it's going to be more comedy fetish porn. And we'll see where that goes.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I have some ideas. I have, like, some visual puns and stuff I've come up with, and things I've written out in a notebook. And Vanya Vixen and I have plotted some things to film. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, when you were talking, I remembered it. My favorite video to film for my Halloween series was the vampire one. And it was actually the number one selling clip for vampires on Clips for Sale.
Oh, wow.
Minivids allows fake blood now, which I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. And so we just did... we did, like, a blowjob video, but, like, I bit his neck at the beginning of it, so there was blood running down his chest, and, like, I got his cock all bloody and everything, and it was just, I have a blood fetish, so I was, like, watching that video, I'm like, I'm getting off to this.
Right.
That was my favorite video to film, and I'll even go back and watch it now. I love that video.
So. Yeah, it's really cool, and, like, I'm kind of proud of the thing I did with Shanna, because, like, I went back and, like, looking at some of the footage, I'm like, this is actually really hot. So, yeah, it's always exciting when you can, like, look at your own work and get turned on by it.
Yeah.
Even though it's weird to look at yourself sometimes, like, you know, when you're looking at yourself, but it's hot, that it must be decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you are your biggest critic, and if I'm getting turned on watching myself, then I know every other guy is.
Right. So we're coming up. Oh, we have like 6 minutes left.
I know.
Oh no. So give us some interesting facts, like, about your life or yourself that you don't get to talk about much, but you think are cool and you wish you could share more often.
Well, we've been talking about the whole time how I have a degree in special effects makeup. I used to work on doing professional makeup for weddings and such. I've worked on music videos before, and that was some of my favorite work I've ever done. It was a lot of fun. It was like a cannibal video, a music video.
Awesome. So
I made intestines out of condoms and, like, Twizzlers and fake blood, and it looked pretty cool. The actors had to be able to eat them, so I was like, okay, candy inside of a condom with blood. Got it.
That's actually pretty clever. Nice.
Thanks, yeah. Condoms work great in special effects, so.
Hmm.
Little tip for everybody out there.
Good to know.
Oh, I don't know. I want to start my Etsy shop back up again, because that's how I made money from the time I was 16 until I graduated college. I ran an Etsy shop and I made things and, like, little accessories and things like that. It's pretty much how I kept myself from starving through college. So I want to get back into making things like that. I don't know what else is interesting about me.
Did we cover, like, just where you're from originally?
I'm from North Carolina. You'll hear my accent come out every now and then.
Yeah, I've heard it. I remember when I met you at FetishCon, I was like, oh, she's actually, like, a kind of sweet Southern girl. I can hear an accent coming out a little bit. I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah, I'm from the country in North Carolina. And I've lived all up and down the East Coast in Pennsylvania, and now I'm in Florida, and I love Florida, and I never want to leave Florida unless I move to, like, an island or something.
What if Florida didn't have air conditioning for, like, a year?
I might cry, but I would rather be hot.
Crying and hot in Florida than have to go elsewhere?
Yeah, than have to spend another winter in the north. I hate spending
I like the snow. In the north. I don't like freezing my ass off in it, and I hate shoveling my car out. It's really pretty to look out a window.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
I'll go walk around in the snow for a few minutes, but it's like, if I have to actually walk some distance in it, it's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I can't feel my hands. I can't feel my face. I can't feel my feet. This is horrible.
Yep. Snow is cool for about 2 or 3 days, and then it's like, okay, go the fuck away, and it's still there like a month later. So, Florida for me,
any
hot tropical place is where I belong.
Despite the mosquitoes.
Yeah, despite the mosquitoes.
Do you miss the foliage from autumn up north?
I do. Fall is like my favorite time up north. So I definitely miss that, but I get to go home and see my parents every now and then, so I get to see it sometimes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they still live in North Carolina.
Ah, okay. Awesome. Yep. Do they know that you do camming and stuff?
Yes, they do. I told my mom first. My mom used to be a stripper, so she was cool with it. She was like, as long as you're, you know, safe and making money, then go on, be happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I'm currently on the fence with, is I don't want, you know, family members and stuff to come across it and be shocked, but at the same time, I'm debating, like, whether it would be too shocking to, like, go ahead and tell them now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I kind of have to see where I go with things, because, like, I did a set for femout.xxx a couple months ago, and that's a more major site than, like, you know, being on Clips for Sale Studios and camming, which is where I'd been before. You know, I have some stuff that I'm going to be filming in the next few months, so it's like I have to kind of evaluate level of exposure and think about what I might want to do.
Yeah. I waited until I made sure that I was going to be, you know, making money and doing this for a while. And that's when I decided to tell my mom, and my mom told my dad, so.
Gotcha.
But yeah, good luck with all the shoots and stuff.
Oh, thanks.
Good luck with telling your family whenever that happens.
Yeah, I actually really don't keep too many secrets from them.
Mm-hmm.
This is basically the only thing they don't know. So,
it's a big
But they know pretty much everything I do sexually. Like, they know I'm poly. They know I go to a dungeon and do BDSM stuff. They know all this stuff that they probably don't care to know about me. They just don't know that it's also on the internet and you can watch it. So,
hopefully they're just like, oh, okay, at this point.
Like, yeah, maybe at this point there's nothing, like, nothing left that can startle them. I don't know, we'll see. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. And again, Rose's Twitter handle is twothornedrose, twothornedrose. And her website is the same name with a .com at the end.
Yep.
So check out her stuff. She's an awesome person. Feel free to support her, especially over the next couple months when the season's tapering off. And I will catch you all next week. Take care.
Bye.